the U.S. Department of Education is lifting restrictions that prevented incarcerated people from using federal financial aid to pay for college, so we'll take a look at what that means for people in Wisconsin. It's Monday, September 25th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, Alliant Energy received a $30 million federal grant for a new storage system in Columbia County. Joe Schultz will have more on that story. And federal student loan repayments are set to resume as soon as October 1st. They've been paused for 3.5 years. We'll hear from a member of the Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt to help clarify what options are available for borrowers. Stay with us.
Agriculture, healthcare, education, you know what's going on in Wisconsin thanks to the Wisconsin Today podcast. And thanks to you, these stories are available to Wisconsinites everywhere. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
The U.S. Department of Education is lifting restrictions that prevented incarcerated people from using federal financial aid to pay for college. Sarah Lear has more on what the change will mean for Wisconsin.
Last year, the federal government awarded Pell Grants to more than 6 million low-income students across the country. But rules in place since 1994 have prohibited incarcerated people from receiving that aid. Margaret DeZariga is with the Vera Institute of Justice.
It was really part of our nation's larger kind of tough-on-crime stance at the time.
Following a vote from Congress, that restriction has been eliminated effective July 1st. In Wisconsin prisons, a federal pilot program has allowed some inmates to receive college aid since 2016. But DeZariga believes the recent expansion will reduce recidivism by bringing opportunities to more incarcerated students. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
That United Auto Workers strike is now affecting Wisconsin. Auto workers in Milwaukee and Hudson have joined the strike. About 100 employees at a Milwaukee parts distribution center for Stellantis, formerly known as Chrysler, walked out at about 11 o'clock Friday morning. About 80 workers at a General Motors facility in Hudson also walked out. The Wisconsinites joined an ongoing national strike that began a week ago. The UAW is targeting all three major automakers at once. Ford employees in a third union site in Menominee are not on strike. UAW President Sean Fain said that Ford has met some of the union's demands, and so no additional stoppages will happen at Ford plants this time around. The union is seeking higher wages, cost of living increases, and traditional pensions for new hires, among other benefits. A first-of-its-kind energy storage system will be coming to Wisconsin in the next few years. Joe Schultz has more on the project.
Alliant Energy received a $30 million federal grant for a 200 megawatt-hour storage system in Columbia County. The U.S. Department of Energy says it would be the first to use a carbon dioxide-based energy storage system at a commercial scale. Mike Bremmel is with Alliant Energy. He says the storage site should be online in 2026, the same year the utility plans to retire a nearby coal plant.
Optimizing the use of that location as well as the access to the transmission grid for storage of the renewable energy.
The facility will turn carbon dioxide into a liquid. When energy is needed, it converts that CO2 back into a gas to power a turbine that generates electricity. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Farm Bill is set to expire September 30th, and so far, there is no replacement. But some Wisconsin farmer groups say they're still hopeful Congress will take action. The legislation is passed every 5 years and authorizes programs related to food assistance, crop insurance, and land conservation. Karen Geffert is from the Dairy Business Association. She says farmers won't be affected by the expiration unless lawmakers fail to pass a new bill or an extension by the end of the year. She also says it's not unusual to see delays, but the dynamic in Congress feels different this year.
We see greater politics playing a larger and larger role as far as how Congress operates, and with thin margins between the parties at the moment, that is just becoming increasingly more difficult.
As part of the Farm Bill, Gafford says her group is asking lawmakers to start the process for exploring new ways to price milk. They're one of several organizations that have proposed changes because the prices have once again fallen to unprofitable levels. Milwaukee's oldest movie theater abruptly shut its doors last week, leaving just three cinemas operating in the state's largest city. Evan Casey reports on the latest closings in the industry.
The Downer Theater opened over 100 years ago, showing silent films. It lived through the coming of talkies, television, and the Great Depression, but it was likely unable to overcome the pandemic and the public's movie streaming habits. Jocelyn Sapaniak-Galise is a film studies professor at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. She says one way theaters can get people back through the doors is by creating experiences around films, like what was seen during the Barbenheimer craze over the summer.
That what people want to come to the theaters for right now, it is being with other people, experiencing something together, feeling like you're a part of something bigger than yourself. And that's not just a plate of nachos.
Marcus Theaters also closed three locations in the Milwaukee area earlier this month. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
This was an interesting one. I heard about this over the weekend. Some rare tropical visitors to Wisconsin have been spotted on the shores of Lake Michigan. Five pink flamingos were drawing crowds of curious onlookers at the beach in Port Washington on Friday. Ryan Brady is a conservation biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He says American flamingos have been spotted across a dozen states like Ohio, Kentucky, and Pennsylvania over the last month. Brady says it is the first known recorded sighting of a wild American flamingo in Wisconsin.
This year, there's been an outbreak of sightings that have spread throughout the eastern U.S. ever since Hurricane Idalia moved through back in August.
He says the birds were likely pushed off course by the hurricane. How about this? They're typically found in the Bahamas, Cuba, and Florida. Hopefully they find their way back soon because we all know winter is on its way. Hey, coming up, federal student loan repayments are resuming after being paused for 3.5 years, and Wisconsinites will have to start making monthly payments as soon as October 1st. But don't worry, I'll be chatting with the Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt to help get us some information on what we need to know before those repayments start. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
More than 700,000 Wisconsinites have some form of student loan debt, and soon they'll have to start making repayments. Joining us to discuss is Benjamin Lee with the Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt. Benjamin, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Can we go ahead and start by, you know, just getting a little backstory? These student loan payments have been paused for a number of years. So when are borrowers going to have to start making payments again?
October. Borrowers should be getting emails from both the Department of Education and their loan servicer about the return to repayment. The Biden administration announced a one-year on-ramp for student loans, which is basically a hold harmless period if borrowers fail to make payments over this coming year. But borrowers should really try to make payments so that they start making progress on their loans. And those payments could be $0 a month if the borrower has low enough income and signs up for an income-driven repayment plan. So no reason not to get connected and get going on your loans now.
I want to get into those changes that the White House announced in a little bit. But first, I want to talk a little bit about what borrowers themselves need to be doing right now. Is the borrower's responsibility, if they haven't heard from their lender, do they have to proactively reach out?
So borrowers shouldn't have to proactively necessarily reach out to their loan servicer or the Department of Education. What borrowers really need to do is make sure that their contact information is up to date with both studentaid.gov, that's the department's main website for all things student loans, and with their loan servicer. And if they don't know who their servicer is, they can find that out on studentaid.gov. So as long as they're keeping that contact information up to date, they should know of everything that's happening. And once they sort of have that basic stuff out of the way, I'd say that they should start exploring repayment plans, which they can also do on studentaid.gov. There's a tool called Loan Simulator, and they can kind of see which plans might work best for them as we sort of ease back into repayment here.
You mentioned a little bit some of those changes that the White House announced, right? Can you explain for us what some of those are?
Yeah, I think the biggest one and the one that's most important for most borrowers is via negotiated rulemaking, the department came up with a new income-driven repayment plan, or IDR plan. And this plan is called SAVE, which is short for Saving on a Valuable Education. And this is going to be the most beneficial income-driven repayment plan for the majority of borrowers. Compared to other IDR plans, it decreases monthly payments. It can also forgive interest not covered by the monthly payment, which could be as low as zero. So you don't hopefully see these runaway loan balances that a lot of borrowers have experienced in the past. And for borrowers with a low balance, their loans could be forgiven in as little as 10 years of repayment. It's an extremely borrower-friendly plan. So something that everyone should at least be aware of and looking into to see if they could benefit from it.
A lot of people are in different positions in life now than they were a couple of years ago. You know, personally, I just started this job a couple of months ago. And so who is eligible for this income-driven repayment plan? Is there a cutoff for how much you make, or how does that work?
Really, it's just about what kind of loan you have. If you have direct loans and they are not Parent PLUS loans, you should qualify. Now, they can't be in default, but if they're not in default, direct loans, which means that the lender is the Department of Education, and they aren't Parent PLUS loans, you are eligible. If you have the old FFEL loans, Federal Family Education loans, or Perkins loans, those are loans made by schools, you would want to consolidate those into the direct loan program in order to get access to the SAVE plan. And as a bonus, if you consolidate commercial FFEL and Perkins loans before the end of this calendar year, you could also benefit from this one-time IDR and public service loan forgiveness account adjustment that the department is doing. Definitely something that people should look into. Again, limited time and very much beneficial to a lot of borrowers. If you know anyone, if you or anyone you know has defaulted federal loans, there's never been a better time to get out of default. There's something called Fresh Start. Again, another limited time initiative from the Department of Education. Basically, a borrower just needs to raise their hand and they will be removed from default, and then they can have access to better benefits like the IDR plans and such. The Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt, of which I am a member, has a free hotline. Anyone in Wisconsin can call in and get free student loan advice. That's 833-589-0750. You can also check out our website, debtsmarts.org. A wealth of information out there.
All of us borrowers are getting ready to start making those payments again. Benjamin Lee with the Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me and spreading the message. Appreciate y'all.
And that'll do it. Some good information in there. I'm glad we were able to chat. And whew, yeah, get those bank accounts ready. Those payments will be starting soon before you know it. That'll do it for Wisconsin Today on this Monday. I'm your host, Alex Crowe. Our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. You know where to find us every weekday morning right here in the podcast feed. Just click subscribe and we'll show up automatically and help you start your day. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.